Let me again bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here, and we say it so often, say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. You can see all the empty spaces this morning, and there was reasons for that, and that's why the list in the bulletin of prayerfully remember is so long. People out of town are experiencing illnesses, so our prayers for them are certainly for their well-being and safe return. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning, and the lesson this morning comes from the text that was read to us. As Rick said in his introduction to the scripture reading, I highlighted six things about God's judgment in the notes. Number one, we know that God's judgment is according to truth. Second, do you think, in other words, is there any possible rational reason for you to think that you can escape God's judgment? Number three, God's judgment is righteous. Number four, he will render to each according to his deeds. Number five, there's no partiality with God, no favoritism. And then number six, God will even judge our secrets by the gospel that Paul preaches. So that's the lesson of the outline this morning. It's interesting, doing this lesson, then I saw in the Sunday paper, there an article, Understand Longevity. So they're saying, you know, you need to know some of you may live longer than others. Well, that's a given. I don't think I needed a research to understand that, but they're talking about physically. So they're giving a lesson on be smart about retirement. Then a couple others I saw, I just photocopied. This one said, I photocopied this one just for the headline. New research suggests that you can't live forever.
Wow.
I needed research to tell me that. I need somebody to make a study. You know, of course, I'm sure they had intention that you can't live forever physically, but it omits eternal life, the article does. In other words, you're going to live forever. You know, yes, you will. There is an eternity. And then the other one, five basic human survival needs. Of course, it's talking about physical life. Of course, you already probably know, if I think, what does it take for you to live physically, be physically alive? You're going to say food,
air,
shelter,
water,
clothing, water.
Not
you got
not
it.
Close.
Number one is oxygen. That's right. I need air. Number two is water. Number three is food. Number four is shelter, along with clothing. The last one was sleep. They mentioned you can die without sleep. But the articles don't mention about spiritual life. Obviously, it's a newspaper, so they're concerned about our living here. But Paul, in our lesson text this morning, focuses our attention that there's something that's going to take place after this life, afterwards. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, don't fear those who kill the body but are not able to kill the soul. Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, that man shall not live by bread alone. The key phrase, we have to live by bread. Food was in the article, necessity of life. But Jesus said, no, there's something other than bread. It's not bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There's something that takes place after physical death. That's the focus on Paul's message here. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die. Can't escape that. But then it says, but after that, the judgment. After life, after death. the judgment. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, the living know that they shall die. I know that. Not guaranteed tomorrow. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the days of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Yeah, so live life, but don't forget judgment. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Yeah, live life, but don't forget God. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What's the best thought in our thinking? The conclusion. Fear God. Keep His commandments. This is the whole of man. For God will bring every work into judgment. Wow. Every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. So our lesson this morning is concerning the judgment. The judgment. Heard a story one time where an old man was asking a young man upon his graduation from high school. He said, what will you do now? He said, oh, I'd probably go to college. Then the old man said, what then? Well, I'll get a job. What then? Get married? What then? Have children? What then? I'll just advance in my career. What then? I'll retire. What then? I'll die. What then? After death. What then? Prophet Amos preaches to Israel in the Old Testament. In one of his messages, his concluding statement was, prepare to meet thy God. In Amos 4, verse 12. About judgment that Paul mentions in our text. Number one, in verse 2, but we're sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. But we judge by likes and dislikes. I make judgments. Oh, I like that. Oh, no, not that. We're prejudiced in a sense. We might be judged by majority thought, but the judgment of God is according to truth. What's the truth? Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them in thy word is truth. Oh, so God's word, what it says is truth. Jesus said, also in John chapter 12, verse 48, he that rejects me and receives not my word, right, the word of truth, what Jesus says, has one that judges him. The word that I spake, the same will judge him in the last day. Judgment is according to truth. It'll be according to the word of God, the Bible, what God says. We're going to be judged by his commandments. It's God's law that will determine our salvation or demise on Judgment Day. And you ever hear the phrase, ignorance of the law is no excuse? Now you go to another country and you disobey a law and appear before the judge. Not much of a defense to say, oh, judge, I didn't know. When you go to another country, you have an obligation to know what the laws of that country are. And they're not always the same as they are here. You go across the sea and try driving on the ignorance of the law is no excuse. It's not going to be a strong argument for you to stand before Jesus in judgment and have that word of God opened and you say, oh, but I didn't know that. You assume an obligation to know what are the requirements, by what standard will I be judged. In any court, I want to know the standard of judgment. When we appear before the great judgment day, God's word will be open. We'll be judged on the things that are written therein. It will be, that judgment is true. It's true. Number two is in verse 3. And do you think, do you think that you shall escape the judgment of God? In other words, he said, do you think, do you imagine, or do you figure there's a mathematical chance that there's a way of escaping God's judgment? Is that what you're thinking? That you can get out of it? You know, perhaps we think that because we can escape man's judgment in several ways. I put four ways in your notes. Sometimes with man's judgment, the offense just goes undetected. It just remains unknown, so we're never brought into judgment. And many times, that's the motivation for committing a crime. We're not going to get caught. No one will know. So let's go ahead and do that which is wrong, or live our life the way we want to. No one will know. Well, God's judgment will be known. We may not be known by a physical authorities. We're going to be known by God. God knows. Second, with man's judgment, it's possible to escape beyond the bounds of jurisdiction. You know, we're guilty as charged, so we just run. We go to another country hoping they'll not return us for judgment. But there's no place to run from God. God will bring everyone into judgment. That was in those introductory verses. Number three, with man's judgment, it's possible for the guilty to be brought to trial and then freed, maybe because of insufficient evidence or a legal loophole, or maybe just the trial process itself. No, that's God's judgment. It has all these six characteristics from our text. Then number four, with man's judgment, it's possible for the guilty, the convicted, maybe to escape from prison. We're serving the time, and maybe with that life sentence, but they're always looking for an escape. And one might escape the judgment of eternal torment if the devil were the doorkeeper. That's not going to happen. You and I cannot escape or avoid or get out of God's judgment. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. Or verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone appears. And again, the text in Hebrews 9:27. After we die, the judgment. The judgment. Number three is just simply that single phrase, the righteous judgment of God. The word righteous, simply it's in the definition is in the word itself. It means that it's right. God's judgment is right. It is just. It's without prejudice. It's without partiality. It's by the book. It's accurate. It's correct. It's true. It's straight. The righteous judgment of God. Number four is in verse 6. He'll render to every man according to his deeds. Clarification verse for that. I didn't put this in your notes, and I should have. But it's in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Anytime you see the phrase in the New Testament where it talks about, our obligation is, the way that we are to live, our discipline, our discipleship, our ministry, those things that we want to do, this verse needs to be mentioned. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith? It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. And we always want to say, now which is it? Not by works, but we're created unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, the works of Christianity are not by my design. Wasn't my idea to have assembly for worship. Wasn't my idea and any man's idea to pray, to be benevolent, to be kind, to look out for one another. Wasn't my idea. Wasn't any man's idea. For by grace are you saved through faith. I'm not meriting God's salvation. I'm just doing what God placed, what God has placed the obligation for me to do. Blame God for that you have to assemble on Lord's Day morning. Or Lord's Day. It's just not his design. God's given a way of life that accompanies our being saved by grace through faith. This way of life ordained by God has its rewards revealed in judgment. That's the verse. He says in verse 5, here's what, if you commit the evil works, you don't do those works that God's ordained. He says, after thy hardness and impenitent heart, you treasure up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Verse 8, Romans chapter 2 still. Unto them that are contentious, do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness. There's indignation, wrath, tribulation, anguish. No, I want to do that which is right. Not because I'm going to earn or merit salvation, but God has saved me by grace and said, Brian, now this is what I want you to do. I created you for, recreated. He creates us first by physical birth. Then he recreates us in Christ Jesus. By right of recreation, he said, this is an obligation for you. Look what I've done for you. This is the way I want you to live. The reward for works that are ordained by God in verse 10. For there's glory, honor, and peace to every man that works good. That's more than just being community minded or being a part of a service club. It's doing what God requires in the biblical text, the judgment book. So Romans chapter 2, verse 13, Paul illustrates that. He says, so not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. The good works that God ordained for us. James 1, verse 22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. As great a blessing as it is to hear God's word read to us or preached, oh, but we need to take it to heart and make an application in our lives. Number 5, the fifth characteristic of God's judgment is there's no partiality. No partiality. In the Old Testament, when they were looking for a king, and Samuel went to the household of Jesse, brought all of his sons out. He thought, oh, this one. No, God said, no, not that one. He went down through the line till he got to David. God said, that one. And the conclusion was in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The Lord, and this is not in your notes, 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance. The Lord looks on the heart. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 39, it says, for thou, even thou only, meaning God, knows the hearts of all the children of men. God knows the hearts. God's judgment is without partiality. Human judgment's partial. I'd rather give you a stern lecture than eternal condemnation. If I were the judge, I'd let you off easy. I'm soft-hearted. I cry at movies. I cried when Old Yeller died. Hope I didn't ruin the ending of that movie for you. Those who are old enough, our age, we know that movie. But woe to that man who thinks he's going to face a God of his own nature. Or woe to that man who thinks he's going to face a God who thinks like you do. God judges without partiality. You cannot barter with God in judgment without partiality. The last one, number 6. Verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Ooh, the secrets. According to the gospel which I preach, Paul said. So we're still, judgment is going to be according to truth. But God will judge the secrets. Oh, I thought I had that hidden. Oh, I didn't think anybody knew. I thought I got away with that. I was never brought into human judgment for that particular deed, thought, or deed. Oh, me. Yeah. Psalm chapter 44, verse 20. If we've forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. You know, with our psychology and radar and Geiger counters and sonar and x-ray and all the other detectors that allow man to see inside us, it shouldn't be strange. That's not strange. In Ecclesiastes 12, again, verse 13, what's the conclusion of the whole matter? Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. Some translations put add the word duty, but this is the whole duty of man. It's the whole of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. For God will bring every work into judgment. Know that, the text says. Know that. And every secret thing. So here's the lesson this morning. The characteristics concerning the righteous judgment found in Romans chapter 2. One verse I'll read as we get through the invitation in closing. I didn't put it in your notes. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. Paul said, to you who are troubled, I'm worried about my sins. You're troubled. Paul said, rest with us at the revelation of Jesus Christ with his angels in flaming fire, coming from heaven, rendering vengeance. He mentions two types of people. Be rendering vengeance on those that know not God, and then second, on those who obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the presence of God and the glory of his might. I want to know God, and I want to obey his gospel to avoid the wrath of God. That's the invitation. It's nice to know, I know 6 things about God's judgment. But what are you going to do about it? Take it to heart. Jesus commissioned his disciples or apostles, read his last words in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the good news. I have a good news message. This is the standard of judgment, the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Salvation. Oh, I like that. Believe and is baptized shall be saved. In Matthew records it in Matthew chapter 28, the closing verses, go into all the world and make disciples of all men. How are you going to make disciples? Baptizing them, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So we want to hear that good news message. Jesus said, go everywhere, don't leave anybody out. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? It's a great question. How can you believe in someone you haven't heard? Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. I want to believe what I hear. I want to believe John 3, 16, God loved, so loved the world he sent his son. I want to believe that. Take it to heart. Jesus also said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. So I want to hear the good news, and second, then I want to believe it, and I want to repent, turn my life around. I want to be baptized for remission of sins. Ah, that's right. So that's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. That plan, those steps, that formula. in becoming a Christian. And once you become a Christian, from that point on, then you begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the obligation. So let's stand together. We'll sing the song that this is selected for us. You're subject to that invitation. If that's your resolve, please simply come as we're singing this song and let your request be known.
Number 147, first and last.